WEEI Afternoons here, July 3rd, heading into the at least top one of the top three holidays on the calendar, 4th of July. Bruce, thank you. You're highly overrated, but that song is not. That's a great song. Thank you. Appreciate it.
Oh, no need for a shot at one of the great American poets, storytellers, and musicians.
No, I know. And someday he'll get his first number one hit.
Are you serious?
Yeah. Look it up. Trivia question.
Oh, yeah? How many number one hits has George Strait had?
61, I believe.
Nope, that chart doesn't count.
Oh, it counts. 61.
No, country number ones don't count. That's like leading AAA in home runs. Nope.
They call you King George for a reason. But that was the voice of Sam Kennedy you also heard there. Front office report, the Greg Hill Show. Continuing to make the rounds, campaigning, Breslow or Kennedy, Kennedy or Breslow. They're everywhere. They're on NESN. They're on WEEI. And they keep telling us, we're going to be the team we thought we were building in the offseason. We're going to add to this team. We're going to be buyers. And I continue to wonder, are they being very political right now in the sense that they feel like they're campaigning and they feel like they're making promises that they may not necessarily be able to keep? Because I was listening this morning when Sam Kennedy was on, and as soon as he exits the show, Wiggy's like, my side of the street. Yep, they're backing themselves in the corner. They're basically telling you they're making it so they have to be buyers. And Curtis is like, no, they don't. What if they're a sub-500 team in 3 weeks, 4 weeks from now, just before the trade deadline, whatever it is? And then Wiggy's like, wow, then they might not buy. And it's like, okay. I think they have to buy either way. I think they, if the trade deadline were today and they were 43 and 45, I think they have to be buyers based on what they have said. Based on what they've said. Based on, we still believe. We're not that far out. We think this team. We're adding Bregman. We're adding Yoshida. Like, I think they absolutely are painting themselves into a corner of buyers. And I love that. I think that's a good thing. Right up until little gullible Andy doesn't get what he wants and they don't buy anything and maybe they sell something off. That will piss me off. But right now, I'm being optimistic.
Okay. You can be as optimistic as you want to be. You can be, you know, listen, I don't ever want to strip anyone of their fandom. Belief is a beautiful thing. And like I've said, and I maintain, great journeys often begin with a small leap of faith. But this team has shown me what they can do. This team has shown me who they are time and time again. I'm not going to sit here and, flagellate and beat up on, Greg Weissert because he gave up a grand slam last night and his ERA was once minuscule and now it's up to 3.5. Like, he is who he is. Like, they got some great innings out of him earlier and now it's to diminishing returns. Why? Because the bullpen's been inconsistent, and outside of Chapman, you really don't have any proven horses back there. My God, my kingdom for the days of Chris Martin being able to come in and give you a shutdown seventh and eighth inning. What a difference that would make on this team. And I don't know. At this point, Andy, I don't know whose fault it is, and I kind of don't give a flying, flipping Fenway. Somebody needs to teach somebody at some level how to throw from the outfield to the infield, how to field the ball cleanly, and how to keep a clean sheet and walk out of the game with zero ease, just at least a couple of times a week. What is it with this team and their friggin' defense? I don't get it.
It's interesting you brought that up because I just started, damn it. Okay. I started following somebody, Zach Scott, on Twitter because he popped across my timeline. And he is apparently former general manager with the Mets. And he is in modernizing sports ops, elevating sports leaders, launching sports careers, blah, blah, blah. But he comments on baseball. He has some inside baseball knowledge. And he tweeted in response to your guy Savage, actually. Okay. Can someone actually explain how the Red Sox have been the worst fundamental baseball team in majors for years? And yep. Zach Scott, this guy, replied, a Red Sox player development member once told me that he knew it was time for an exit strategy, I think he means from the organization, when a newly hired by Bloom minor league field coordinator declared in their first meeting that, quote, we no longer coach fundamentals, close quote.
I'm sorry, what?
Yeah, the field coordinator, player development, minor leagues, we no longer coach fundamentals. And then, this guy apparently was like, yeah, probably time for me to look for a new gig if we're not going to be doing that in the player development department of the Boston Red Sox. But that falls in line with what Craig Breslow has told us. He said it on the Greg Hill Show last week sometime, I believe it was, that we've done the analysis, and at all levels, we struggle with defense, we struggle with base running. You know why that might happen? Because you don't teach it, you don't coach it, you don't invest in it, And this morning, Sam Kennedy said the same thing. We need to invest more time there in spring training, wherever it may be in the minor leagues. Isn't it as simple as when you don't teach or coach something, generally you don't get better at it?
Yeah, it would be like if a team ran nothing but tackling drills, or like, no, they worked on Andy. It was like an NFL team basically just ran a passing clinic, right? You know, they just, everything was like one of those air raid camps kids go to sometimes in the summer to work on their route trees and, you know, 10s and 15s and 20 yards. Awesome. Great. You guys can score with the best of them. You're the worst tackling team of all time, and you have no special team fundamentals. Why? Because you don't teach them or practice them. And now this baseball team is doing the same thing. I find this actually to be borderline contemptible. Like, this is an insult to people that like watching the all-around great game of baseball and not just, oh, look at this team. Always swinging out of their socks. The old Fenway driveliners.
Driveline. They care about pitching and spin rate and all that crap, and then launch angles and all that crap. And some of the fundamentals, the simplest stuff, especially for a team that I do think has some athletes both at the major league level and has injected some athleticism into the minor league system without knowing all the guys, obviously. Like, coach them up. So worst case scenario, if things go wrong in some of the other areas, we can be a scrappy, athletic, try-hard team, because right now they're not. And it's not just the young guys. They have occasionally old guys. Trevor Story thrown out at second base the other night. Like, Romy Gonzalez. Like, some of the old guys also make mistakes.
Because he fell trying to, again, Andy, let's go back to a point we were making earlier this week. Two things. I was saying that inconsistency I find to be the most maddening element of this team. Turns out that actually may be a silver medal winner next to not teaching fundamentals at the base level of the organization and operation. And you were talking about people trying to do too much. This is probably what we have. We can call it Duran syndrome. Like, Jaron Duran is literally trying to win the game with every catch, with every throw, with every single, with every stolen base. He can't. There's no such thing as an 8-run home run. Try as you will, Red Sox. It just doesn't exist.
Stupid question from the 413.
No such thing, but okay.
No, his words, not mine, or her words, not mine. They actually started the question with stupid question. Why the hell do professional, all caps, baseball players need to be coached on freaking fundamentals, all caps? Well, because they're young and they're developing. And also, I would argue, everybody needs to be coached up or reminded of some of the fundamentals of their jobs. Like, you know, in a lot of forms of professional careers, whether it's teaching or whether it's the medical field, you got to get, what do they call them?
CEDs? Recertified.
Like, you got to get continuing education points or whatever to prove that you're still studying your field, that you're still prepping, that you're not just going to live off that degree that you got in college maybe 5 years ago, 10 years ago, 20 years ago, that you're keeping up with the times.
Yeah, do you still know where the major organs are?
Right.
Or how to perform an incision. It's like Dan Ball and I share the same hot take. Every 10 years, you should be retested for your driver's license.
Sure. Everybody should be. And to just assume, especially when you have a guy, I don't know, Roman Anthony, who's only a couple years out of high school. Some of these guys that we're talking about, they're young players. And when you're, especially, let's say a guy's in the Northeast, you played high school baseball in the Northeast, and then you went to college, like, you didn't get as many reps as some of those people in Florida that play baseball year-round. So, like, to think just because a guy has reached AA, AAA, Major League Baseball, that he is a fundamentally sound player, finished product, now he can just focus on purely the higher-end levels of the game. No. Absolutely not. Absolutely need to be taught fundamentals and reminded of fundamentals. And then some of the fundamentals that pop up at a faster rate, right? Like, playing defense against base runners in single-A ball is not going to be the same as Ellie De La Cruz running the bases, right? Or no. Jaron Duran running the bases. Like, oh, things are happening a little faster and more aggressively.
That's a great point. Sliders have a greater spin rate. Fastballs get faster. Runners get faster. The game gets more difficult. So being able to lean into and actually refresh your fundamentals. Good Lord, how many times does the boss man, producers come in from behind the glass and go like, great job, guys. Andy, can you work on the back sell from that segment? And also, can we get out a minute sooner?
Yeah, like, you get out at 256.37. Can we get out at 256.13? And I'm like, yes, sir, I will. Like, you're absolutely, that's a perfect example. Even in this business, there are little things that we need to clean up, make better on a daily basis. And Yeah, and they need it in Major League Baseball. They need it in Minor League Baseball. And for some reason, I don't know whether we blame Chaim Bloom, whether there's more blame for others in the organization. Sam Kennedy, you're the president. Means you probably signed off on some of these hires, fires, organizational budgets and things where money is invested. So, Sam Kennedy, you're part of it. 617-779-7937. Let's go back to the phone lines. Rick in New Hampshire has a comment on the Red Sox as well as the Brady statue that we mentioned. What's up, Rick?
Hey, so anyway, you know, I don't want to be a wet blanket, but the thing is, you had mentioned earlier about, you know, Red Sox are a 500 ball team. Well, they got to win a couple more games to be a 500 ball team.
Yeah.
But the thing is, that aggravates me, you know, I'm sure it aggravates all you guys, is I go online and I read all these stories, and the thing that gets me is, no matter who you listen to, and these are the insiders, these are the guys that you know personally, are saying, yep, there's no way Alex Cora has to worry about his job. He's guaranteed. They can come in last. They can play as bad as they want. Alex Cora doesn't have to worry about his job, period. And that aggravates me to death.
Okay, what was your thought on the Brady statue?
The Brady statue is everybody saying, oh, well, it could be this, it could be that. Hey, you know, put him in the Heisman Trophy pose, put a helmet on him, nobody will know the difference. Everybody will be happy.
All right, thanks for the call, Rick.
Did Tom Brady ever strike the Heisman pose once in his career?
I don't think he did.
No.
I don't think he No. I don't think he has that in him. He certainly didn't win the Heisman.
He didn't run down to the end zone, whether he was trailed by Ryan Mallett, Jimmy Garoppolo, Jacoby Brissett, or whoever, and, you know, strike the Heisman pose every Sunday in the end zone. He'd pumped his fist and yelled, let's effing go.
Because generally, to strike the Heisman pose, you have to do something athletic. Right, like a rushing touchdown, spin move, great catch or something. He did play with a guy who did that. Charles Woodson did the Heisman pose. And when you're a defensive player,
deservedly
like,
so.
Yes, when you're a defensive player and strike the Heisman pose, it's kind of like the, yeah, I expect to be in the conversation for the Heisman because it's not easy as a defensive player. But no, I'm not sure Tom Brady needs to be striking the Heisman. I would be thumbs down on that. That would be, if they pulled off the sheet and you're like, wait, is that Brady in the Heisman pose? That would be one of the worst statues I've ever seen. No offense,
Rick. What the hell is this?
Yeah.
What if it's Brady kind of like, you know, leaning to one side with the football on the other, and it's like in the Urlacher juke pose?
Yep. Nope. I don't love that either.
I don't love that at all.
Nope. I like the. I know a lot of people think it's kind of weird, but the fist pump pregame to me, the end of the run down the field, because he also did similar things on the field when he would throw a touchdown pass or make a play, avoid a sack. I like the fist pump because I think he made LFG a thing. He made LFG a much bigger phrase, acronym, social media. Like
your son played football in high school and probably had friends that played a few years before him and they a few years before that. Did kids say en masse at the collegiate high school or youth level, let's go or let's effing go Tom Brady? No, that's his thing.
Tom Brady. So to me, that's the visual representation of the LFG, of the let's go. So that's what I would put as the statue. But we'll see. We'll find out. Fitzy's very excited. It may be a part of the Fitzy Five.
Are we broadcasting live from Foxborough that day? I think we should.
Sure. I'm all for it. I don't even know what day is it. What day?
It's a Friday.
Thursday, Friday?
No, it's their only home preseason game Friday, August 8th against the Commanders.
All right, put that in. Put a request in with Boss Man Laird if we can be live.
I already did. You know what the response was?
No.
Well, we've got a lot going on with the Greg Hill Show.
Oh, that's hurtful. 617-779-7937. We've had a little Red Sox talk to start the show because, well, they are floundering again, and I'm not happy with them. Up next, though, it's the eve of the 4th of July. That means fireworks tonight, fireworks tomorrow, probably Saturday night, all weekend long. If you have dogs, you might not be a fan of that. I know Rich Keefe is not a fan of that. But we like fireworks here, and we've come up with a little game. We're going to go over some names of fireworks that Fitzy found online at stores that sell fireworks, and we're going to go over those because I hear they're unbelievable, and they almost sound like something that has nothing to do with fireworks. That's up next here on WEEI Afternoons.